good evening, everyone. Welcome to the house of the Lord. It is certainly good to see all of you here tonight on campus. And we want to welcome everyone joining us on live stream and Facebook Live as well. So glad you've chosen to be part of the service this evening. How are the holidays going for everyone? I hope they're going well. They're certainly going quickly, aren't they? I guess technically the holidays aren't here yet. I meant to say the holiday season. But we are certainly knocking on the door, right? Christmas is a week from today. not to sound like Scrooge, but this time a week from now, it'll almost be over, right? It'll be kind of on the downhill, bringing it on in for a landing, I guess. But I do hope everyone is enjoying the returns of the season, and I hope you have a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. I hope that that was a good setup for what I want to talk about. I do want to spend just a few minutes here at the beginning of the service to talk about our service schedule for the holidays over the next couple of weeks. It's Wednesday night, so it's a good time to do it. But as it happens, Christmas Day and New Year's Day falls on a Wednesday this year. You're probably aware of that. So it's a good time to just do some housekeeping, and let's talk about it a little bit. I like to talk about these things chronologically, so let's just start with next Sunday, the one coming, Sunday the 22nd. That is, of course, as we've been announcing, our Christmas service at 11 o'clock. And I want to emphasize we do have Sunday school at 10, as always, but that 11 o'clock service will be our Grace Church Christmas celebration. And we want you to come, let's celebrate Christmas as a Grace Church family. But that doesn't mean you can't bring somebody with you. We want you to bring your family, your guests. Let's have a great time in the 11 o'clock service celebrating the season. Also, as we've announced, the Christmas for Christ offering will be received in that service. Christmas for Christ supports North American missions, among many other things, and we'll talk a little bit about that on Sunday. So that takes us through Sunday. So next week, okay. So next Tuesday would be Christmas Eve, and we will dismiss Tuesday prayer for Christmas Eve. And then next Wednesday, as I've said, is Christmas Day. We will dismiss Wednesday night, of course, for Christmas Day. And then the same schedule will apply the following week for New Year's. We will dismiss prayer New Year's Eve, and we will dismiss Wednesday service New Year's Day, Wednesday New Year's Day. So we'll continue to remind you of that, but that gives you an idea of kind of how we'll have our service schedule for the coming weeks. And then finally, it's a good time to remind you, if any of your information has changed this year and you forgot to update the church office, now's a good time to update those records with the office. So make a note of that. Amen. All right. Are you glad to be in the house of the Lord tonight? Amen. I am. I'm glad to be here. It's great to be with y'all. It's great to be in the presence of God. And to celebrate the Word of God, to celebrate the presence of God. You know, in the Old Testament, the name of God was not given in the sense that they did not know His name was Jesus. They knew Him as Yahweh. They knew Him as Adonai. Isaiah called Him the root of Jesse at one point. He was called the branch, Emmanuel. But never really zeroed in on that name. It wasn't until Gabriel announced to Mary that she would conceive of the Holy Ghost and that she should call that baby by name Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sins. And the Bible tells us further in the New Testament that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that all power in heaven and earth is given to that name. So I'm thankful that we're on this side of Christmas in the church age. We know the name and the power of that name, the name Jesus Christ. If you're thankful for the name of Jesus and all the power, all the grace, all the mercy, everything that comes with it, would you clap your hands, lift your voice? Let's give Jesus some praise tonight. Amen. God bless you, Grace Church.
Thank you, Brother Dave. Great to see everyone here tonight, as always. Thank you for driving out tonight to Grace Church for Bible study, and appreciate you being here, and pray that the service is a blessing to you. Does anybody remember this past Sunday morning here at Grace Church? What a service. What an amazing manifestation of the presence of God. And we're looking forward to great things coming as a result of that. And again, great to see everyone here tonight. And thank you so very much for coming. I want to teach for just a few minutes tonight on a subject that it really stresses me out because it's one of my greatest weaknesses, I suppose. We'll come to that in a minute. Let me read from the Word of God in Genesis chapter 12 now that I have your attention. Genesis chapter 12, verse 1. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee, and I will make of thee a great nation. I will bless thee, make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. That's four pretty huge promises right there. I will bless them that bless thee. I will curse them that curseth thee. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Three more promises. So Abram departed, as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him, and Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. And Abram took Sarai his wife and Lot his brother's son and all their substance that they had gathered and the souls that they had gotten in Haran. And they went forth to go into the land of Canaan, and into the land of Canaan they came. And Abram passed through the land unto the place of Shechem, unto the plain of Moreh. And the Canaanite was then in the land. And the Lord appeared unto Abram and said, unto thy seed will I give this land. Some more promises. And there builded he an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him. And he removed from thence unto a mountain on the east of Bethel and pitched his tent, having Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. And there he builded an altar unto the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord. And Abram journeyed, going on still toward the south. There was famine in the land. And Abram went down into Egypt to sojourn there, for the famine was grievous in the land. Excuse me. I want to talk to you tonight for just a few minutes about being patient. I regret a little bit that Sister Murphy is sitting in here tonight, because she'll probably remind me of some of this tomorrow. Patience is not one of my greatest virtues, for sure. I say that in jest. I was thinking about this today, and reminded me, just in the thought process of tonight, when I was not long out of high school, I took a job. My classification was a draftsman for an engineering firm, civil engineering firm. At that time, I had hardly even heard of civil engineering. And then to be working in a civil engineering office, I had no clue about anything going on in that office at that time, and that's what they wanted. They wanted an idiot, somebody ignorant, and they got one. And I worked there for a month, and Sister Murphy and I married. And about 2.5-3 years later, I was the office manager running three survey crews and training other draftsmen. So it was a very quick journey for me to learn and what have you. But I was there about 3 months, and it's about 6 months, excuse me. I was there for about 6 months. And my boss, his name was Earl, called me into his office, and I completely just freaked out. I didn't know what he wanted, closed the door. And he said, the first 3 or 4 months you were here, he said, I talked to the two owners of the company numerous times, and we were going to let you go, because it just didn't seem like you were catching on as fast and as we thought you would. But he said, you were trying so hard, we just could not let you go, because you just wasn't quitting, you weren't giving up, you kept trying and trying, and when somebody's trying that hard, we're not going to let someone go like that. But then finally, after that 3 or 4 month period, you got your feet underneath you, you're doing a great job, and we're going to increase your pay. And I went, took a huge load off right there. And plus, I was very thankful. It did disappoint me that his first comments that I wasn't doing as well as they expected. It disappointed me greatly for them. But I was thankful they noticed that at least I was trying. I'm saying that to say, in my style of ministry and pastoring, if I see someone is trying in church, doesn't matter how old or young they are, I want to give them all the benefit of the doubt I can. And sometimes, most of the time as pastor, I think sometimes I'm patient to a fault. But you put me on behind the wheel of my car going down the street behind someone doing 20 miles an hour when the speed limit is 55, can't deal with it. Either they need to turn or I'm going to go around them. There's no patience. I remember today in preparation for this that doctors have to have a lot of patience. And they also have to have some good nurses, because nurses keep you in stitches, don't they? You're welcome. You're welcome. Glad y'all enjoyed that. Yes, sir. You are as slow as I was in my first 3 months on my job. I want to talk to you tonight, seriously, a few moments about being patient. We love to focus on the promises that God makes to us, especially via the Word of God. And there are occasions where perhaps some of us at least has experienced, had that God moment, and you feel like God speaks to you and makes you promises for your individual life, very specific, very focused promises. The interesting thing about this reading tonight that I read in Genesis chapter 12 is God made promises to Abraham and was kind enough to tell him what they were. We feel like it might be the will of God for us to do something, but it's not because God is speaking to us in an audible voice like he was doing to Abraham, saying, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, I'm going to do this. And really all it's dependent on is you leaving your home country and going to the land that I'm going to show you. That's all you got to do. Get you a U-Haul truck, pack it up, and boogie, and you'll be okay. I prayed and prayed and prayed when we was trying to buy this building for 14 months that God would open the door, that God would do something. And I didn't hear nothing. Just had to believe and just trust. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You feel like it's God wants me to do this if he'll just speak to me, or God, I want to do this if you'll just give me direction, and he doesn't. At least he told Abraham exactly what he was promising him. God said, I'll make your name great, I'll bless you, I'll make you a great nation, you'll be a blessing, I'll bless those that bless you, curse those that curse you, and all the people of the earth will be blessed through you, in which our world has absolutely lived that promise. It's documented. So the promise, these promises, what they entailed for Abraham is personal blessings from God, personal protection from enemies. That sounds pretty nice. Personal purpose to live out the rest of his life. But what's interesting is Abraham was about 75 years old when God was talking to him in Genesis chapter 12. Abraham was 86 years old when Ishmael was born, and he was 100 when Isaac was born. He waited 25 years for that seed of blessing, that literal seed, that son to be born. And when Abraham died, he was still living in a tent, never really coming to that full revelation, that full manifestation of God's promise, settled in the land of Canaan and so on. He still lived in a tent. On top of that, the Bible said that he had to travel even further south because there was a grievous famine. So that's God's promise with a cherry on top, ain't it? I'm trying to be real here tonight. Before the fulfillment of these promises could come to pass, not all of them in Abraham's life, not like we know it now, and even some of the seed had Isaac and Isaac's family and all of that, there was a idea, a concept, if you will, called the testing of time, which is being patient. I've known people in my lifetime, and so have you, that have clung to the presence of God. They grab a hold of it and won't let go of it. I know somebody right now, if I called her name, some of you would know her. Prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed and believed God promised her things, and she died. But I've lived long enough to see some of those promises come to be fulfilled and come to pass that God promised her. It just didn't happen in her lifetime. So we have to understand there's the testing of time. When God makes a promise, it doesn't mean he's going to do it in the next 5 minutes or in the next week or in the next year. It could be after your death before those promises come to pass. I heard several people have debated this through the years. Well, did God lie to that person by saying, I make you these promises and they will be fulfilled? Was it a lie because it wouldn't fulfill while the person was alive? And God never said anything like that to Abraham, that all of this is going to happen while you're still living. That didn't happen. But those promises were fulfilled, as we know today, by history. It's been well documented. So the promises of God are not always fulfilled immediately. Hence requires patience. To know what is in your heart, to see if you would keep his commandments or not, is one good reason. He tests you with the passing of time to see if you have faith in his promise and his ability to bring out his will and purpose in your life. That's the number one reason the promises of God are not fulfilled immediately, in my opinion. Number two is to humble you and to teach you that man does not live by bread alone, by literal sustenance that life gives every day, but by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. We learned this in one of the very first studies I taught in this series on the wilderness test that we go through. It's very discouraging sometimes when you're in that mode. But God wants to test your faith and he wants to test your humility when he makes a promise to you but doesn't fulfill it right away. I've known people that have backslidden because they felt like God promised them something, and when it didn't happen in their range of scope, they said that God lied to me and I'm not going to serve God anymore. So the reason for this time test, this testing of time, this being patient, is to force you and I as the believers to trust in God and go on and do the things that we know to do. We may not be where God wants us ultimately, but we're on that path. Wish everybody could understand that. We feel like, okay, God promised me this job, and it hasn't happened yet, then he's not going to give me that job. That's not what that means. You stay on that path. You do what you know to do. You occupy, the Bible said, until he comes. You live out what you know. You do what you know to do. And then you serve God faithfully. So it forces the believer to trust and then go in all things. It forces a believer to trust God to fulfill his word. It forces a believer to trust God to fulfill his own word in his own time and in his own way. It teaches us to believe that God is God and will be God despite what I see, believe, or experience. And then the last reason I'll give tonight, at least, is to expose personal shortcomings. Oh, God, help us the personal shortcomings of impatience. Being patient. The time test, that testing of time, gives you and I as believers the opportunity to grow our faith, to encourage others, to purify our motives and our attitude, to develop maturity-wise. It causes the development of patience, the development of discipline, the development of purpose. All of these things goes into that testing of time. I thought about it last night in preparation for this tonight. I hear some of our students say, I can't wait till I'm 21. I can't wait till I'm 25. I can't wait till I'm this, that age, that age. Boy, I could have waited. I could have waited a few more years, as a matter of fact. The rate is going now. I'll tell all of y'all, when you hit 60, it's just like jumping over a cliff. Your age just keeps going way down to the ground. And that's that. I'm being very encouraging tonight. You wait out time. I've learned that through the years. And again, there's areas I'm patient to a fault. Other areas I'm very weak in it. It's strange to me how that works. You'd think patience is patience. But it's not always true with me. But I think I've learned in the valuable things, the things that really matter, that are important, is to wait on God. So, the test of time, this testing of time, letting time pass while you're still hoping and trusting for the promise of God to be fulfilled, that process of time shows over and over and over that man's plans oftentimes fail. When you don't wait on God and you go off and do your own thing anyway and say, forget about all that, I'm going to do my own thing, usually it ends up in failure. The vast majority of the time, it ends up in failure. Abraham learned that with Ishmael. We're still putting up with that problem today. We are. I'm not speaking badly about the Arabic people, but it's a situation. Now that whole Middle East has been in a turmoil for hundreds and thousands of years, as we all know, because Abraham and Sarah agreed to take God's promise into their own hands and do it their way, and it caused a big mess. At the end of all of this, what God is after is that he alone will be the only one that gets any glory out of anything great that happens in our life, period. That's the way it works. That's what he wants. He is a God, and gods get glory. It's an attribute of being God. You want the glory. You want the credit, if you will. The third thing that this test of time provides for all of us and teaches all of us is that God is a miracle working God. Somebody told me just this past Sunday that they've had an amazing miracle on a domestic level happen in their life, something totally unexpected, and gave pastor credit for some things I had taught a couple of weeks ago and said, you said that, and it happened in my life. I wish everybody could understand that. That God can work miracles in our lives regardless. There was something that happened here Sunday morning. Someone was in a very dark spot in their life, walked out of this building in one of the brightest spots they've ever been in, and it happened just like that. I witnessed it. God, it shows us this testing of time that God is faithful to his word. If you believe it, if you stay faithful to it, God will do what he said he would do. Also shows us that God's power is greater than the laws of science. Oh, yes, it is. So Abraham's test to us, his time test, reveals that being chosen of God does not exempt us from being tested. Abraham's probably one of the greatest men that's ever lived in human history. I mean, my word, the man was the father of a nation. It's not very big. But it has endured the test of time. The nation of Israel endured everything you could imagine. Everything's been thrown at that little country. And they just keep coming back. We've seen that especially in the past couple of years. So being chosen of God, being called of God, does not exempt you from being tested. But there is grace the grace of God even in failure. But grace does not negate nor reverse the price of failure. You fail, sometimes there's consequences to that. There is, but it doesn't negate God's promise. Moses lived that out. He murdered a man, but God didn't cancel out all the promises he made. David, you all know that story. Paul was not a good man at all, but it did not negate God's will and purpose for his life. So we have to understand that God testing us reveals these things, and if you're sensitive enough to it, you'll understand it and you'll see it. So let me give you some signs, give all of us some signs that show that we're failing this testing of time. It's when you express doubt rather than faith. You abandon faith. Jesus told Peter, I pray for you that your faith fail not. I need you to stay on a path. It's going to be a hard night for you, but I need you to stay on the path no matter what happens. Peter did fail, but it did not negate God's will and purpose for his life. Signs that you're failing this testing of time is when you work to substitute your way instead of doing things God's way. I've seen people do that all of my life. Signs that you're failing the testing of time is when you get distracted and you murmur and complain and you quit and you give up on your responsibilities. All these are signs that you're failing this testing of time. Don't always negate the will of God for your life, but sometimes you can negate the will of God for your life when you go too far and you can't come back to the will of God. And I've seen that happen in the lives of people. We have to understand when God makes a promise, we hang with it no matter what. No matter what, you hang with it. You do what God has called you to do. I know preachers tonight that God called them to a place and you couldn't chase them out with a team of mules. I'm one of them. Unless God have to ask, tell me two or three times. He'd say, I want you to leave, resign this church and go somewhere else. And I'd go, huh? What does Noah and Joseph say? Huh? I can't do that like they do. They know what I'm talking about. I want you to leave. Huh? Huh? My hearing's not too good, God. You get the point. I found through the years that faithfulness is one of the greatest tools a person can have when it comes to a relationship with the promise of God. If you hang in there, God will come through and do what he said he would do. A lot of our problem, this isn't in my notes, but a lot of our problem is sometimes God does fulfill his promise in our life, but we don't recognize it. And I've seen it happen over and over with people. We have a picture in our mind that this is what it's going to look like when God's promise comes to pass in my life, and it's not that. And so when it does happen, we don't recognize it. Another Bible study for another time. So with landing gear out right now, let me give you five things to do to pass this testing of time. Do things. Discipline yourself to do things that requires faith. Listen to Pastor right now. Please listen. Don't give up. Don't quit. Discipline yourself to do things that require faith. The more you do that, the stronger your faith gets. It's exercise. It's repeating a cycle, if you will, that builds your strength and encourages you. Never stop attending church. Never stop that. Never stop attending church. Never stop worshiping God. Never, never stop worshiping God. Listen to Pastor. Learn to serve others while you're waiting. Serve. Do what you can. Live as close to God as you can. Live as solid as you can. Stay close to God. Worship, pray, believe, trust. Keep your life right. Keep your heart right. Learn to serve others even when you're discouraged and you don't feel like it. You keep serving. You keep doing what you know to do, what you're able to do. Especially in light of the fact when you see that there's not anyone else around that can do what you can do. So you serve where you can, and you do it faithfully. And rejoice in the promise God made you. A very familiar scripture. In Isaiah 40:31, they that wait upon the Lord, they that serve the Lord. You wait on him like a waiter or a waitress in a restaurant. You wait on the Lord. You serve him. You'll renew your strength by doing that. You'll mount up with wings as eagles, run and not be weary. They'll walk and not faint. There's not a promise given by God that will not come to pass. There's not one. If God makes a promise, he's going to keep that promise. And he causes us to wait in order that we may develop to maturity and actually become more savable, because we know how to govern our attitude, our spirit, our heart, and what have you. In 2 Peter 3:9, the Bible said very clearly, Peter said, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us. We're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So in order to receive the promises, we must be willing to hang in there and pass that testing of time. Students, everything you want right now, you've learned this from your parents. Everything you want right now is not going to happen right now. When you started third grade and passed, it doesn't mean you was ready for college. You got to wait, and you got to go 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, and then you can start. It's a process. So is relationship with God. When you got married, those of you here tonight that are married, if you've been married for more than 5 years, your marriage don't resemble too much right now what it resembled that first week you was married, does it? Don't mean you love your spouse less. I'm not saying that. It means you know them better. And your marriage has grown and it's developed and it's matured. Wait till you're married 20 years. Wait till you're married 150 years. If you're married that long, I'd like to meet you and shake your hand. That would be interesting. Students, a lot of time between where you are right now and the rest of your life. The Lord tarries. Something tragic doesn't happen. Take things a day at a time. Enjoy living where you're planted and do the best you can. And all of us can be patient and more patient and be better people because of it. Thank the Lord. Stand with me tonight. God bless you. Thank you for being here. Before we leave, I want us to pray before we go. And I have some things I'd like for you to help me pray about. And there are some folks part of Grace Church tonight that are certainly under the weather and needs our prayer tonight. So before we go, let's pray about these things tonight and thank God for his word. Jesus, we love you tonight. We're thankful for your presence that's here tonight. We're thankful for the word of God. I pray, God, that you would help us tonight to grow as a result of what we've heard. I pray, God, that you would give us wisdom to help us understand. I pray, God, that you would help us to stay close to you, that you would draw us closer to you, keep us close to you. I pray, God, that we would love you with all of our heart. Pray for those that are sick tonight, that you would minister to them. You know who they are. I pray in Jesus' name that you would heal their body, that you would be with them. We'll give you the thanks, the praise, the glory, and the honor for it. In Jesus' name, let's clap our hands and a little bit of praise before we leave tonight. Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. God bless you. Shake friends and be handy. Lord willing, we'll see you Sunday morning for our Christmas service. God bless you.